All right, thank you, ladies. I say to the ushers one more time, we do have folks still coming in a little bit late. Some of them may have children and do not know where to take them. And so help out as much as you can. We're so glad to have everyone, and especially welcome you that have come to visit with us. This is our Sunday school hour, and we'll go up to about 10 minutes to 11. Then we have just a little break, and we get the preaching service going at 11 o'clock. Now, I think I hear the screen coming down behind me. I've never been able to do what my mother could do. She had eyes in the back of her head. I've never been able to quite master that, but I did hear it a little bit. And I will flash just a picture up a time or two, maybe this morning. I promise you that I've been listening to my Sunday school time for the last two or three weeks, that I would go ahead and get into the subject of the blood moons this morning. Now, I taught some on this several years back, maybe a time or two, but the event that we're talking about is going to arrive in this year and next year, 2014 and 2015. And so you've seen in preachers on TV, I'm sure, and others, maybe read some books on it, and that's fine. I'm glad you did, and I can't cover all the detail in 30 minutes that some of you have already been exposed to, but we'll try to get into it just a little bit. We'll ask you to open your Bible, Old Testament, near the end of it, little books that are hard to find, little book called Joel. And we're going to ask you to go to Joel chapter 2. We're going to read about what is going to take place in 2014 and 15. Now, it's not that it has never happened before, but to some degree it has. But it is an exciting time for Bible students. Bible students that know something about the prophecy, predictions of the Word of God. See, the Bible stands alone against all other books. No other book can tell you what's going to happen in the future, but the Bible does. And, of course, we can't get into it too deep this morning, but Joel chapter 2, I want you to notice verse 31. Verse 31 of Joel chapter 2. Now, this is an end time setting. This is a last day setting. This is a time that the Lord is predicting here in Joel chapter 2. Look at verse 10. The earth shall quake before them, the heavens shall tremble, the sun and the moon shall be dark, the stars shall withdraw their shining, and the Lord shall utter his voice before his army. Now, the quaking and so forth, this is when God comes back in glory, in judgment. It says, for his camp is very great, for he is strong that executeth his word, for the day of the Lord. Now, this is the setting, the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is not the secret catching away of saved folks. It is the day when God comes back in judgment, leading the armies of heaven. You can read about it in some detail in Revelation chapter 19. So it says, for the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide? Now, dropping on over in the same chapter, chapter 2, pick it up with me in verse 31. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the great and terrible day of the Lord. Now that's, it says before. Notice every word's always important. Before the great and terrible day of the Lord. Now let me say this to you. This is pertaining to Israel, not necessarily the church, but to Israel. There's a difference in the Jews and Israel, in the Old Testament and the grace age and the church age. Go ahead and put up quickly for me a mic on the screen. I'm not going to leave it up because I know human beings, and you know what they'll do? They'll study the picture instead of listening to me. And I would too if I was sitting out there. So I'm going to show you just a minute, and then I'm going to take it away. Are you looking at that with me a little bit? That Shemitic year is the sabbatical. It's seven sevens, and the Jews count every sabbatical year. Now, it's a little bit of an interesting thing. We have four blood moons. When the moon eclipses, it always looks like blood. The Bible describes it in several places. Now, you have four of them up there. Then, if you'll notice, you have on 8R29, nice and one, which will be 3/2015, you have a solar thing. This is when the sun eclipses. Now, this is a phenomenon. It is rare. It has happened some in the past, but never to the exact degree that it's going to happen in years 14 and 15, 20, 14 and 15. All right. Keep them from studying it, Mike. Turn off the picture for me. And say, what has 43 years taught you? Taught me a lot about human beings. Amen. I know our nature because I am one. Amen. All right. I want you to understand that we're talking about an event that is predicted before the day of the Lord shows up. Now, I've been talking to you about signs. God gives signs. You need to remember something. The signs in the Bible are mostly given to Israel. Jesus himself made the statement that the Jews seeketh after a sign. Matthew chapter 12. He said, no sign. You remember how the Pharisees and all of them argued with Jesus and they interrogated Jesus and they say, give us a sign. And he said, the Jews want a sign, but no sign shall be given them but the sign of Jonas the prophet, Jonah. What was the sign of Jonah? The truth was, it was the resurrection. And when Jesus said, when I die, I'll not stay dead, on the third day I'll arise, and he did. And that was the sign. Now, a lot of folks say today, well, the Lord's coming back secretly for the church, and I think he is. In a moment, the twinkling of an eye, the Bible says, could happen today. But if that be the case, somebody says, well, what's the signs? Well, the Lord don't necessarily give us any signs of the coming for the church or for the saved. But he gives Israel signs. And here we've read a sign that has to do with taking place before the day of the Lord. Now, when the day of the Lord takes place, you read about it in Zechariah, you read about it in many places, Matthew 19 and so forth, you will discover that God is having to come back to rescue the nation of Israel. Zechariah 14 says all the nations will gather against it. And except for the army in heaven coming back to deliver them, they would not be delivered. They would not be saved. Now, listen to me here a moment. If we see the signs before the day of the Lord, before the tribulation period, when God deals especially with Israel, if we see those signs, that should encourage us that before that happens, the Lord is coming for his, the gathering together that Paul talked about in what we commonly call in Christianity the rapture. So that ought to encourage us. When I was a kid traveling in the back seat of my dad's big old Buick going somewhere, we'd be going to see my cousins, and it was about a 200-mile trip. My brother and I get very excited as we recognize some signs along the road that told us we were getting near our destination. And the truth is, you and I as God's people ought to be very excited as we look to see and do see the signs of the Lord's return. Even if it's a return for Israel, we believe he's going to return with us, to us, or earlier. I don't know if I lost all my ushers back there or not, but I keep seeing folks come right in by themselves trying to find a seat. All right, come on back with me again. Now, I talked to you the other day about how God sometimes deals in sevens. All right, folks, look this way. I've got the advantage of looking both ways, but you look up this way. Okay, having a little trouble here this morning as folks move around a little more than usual. All right, before the day of the Lord, this is what is being predicted. Now, the day of the Lord with Israel is called in Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 7, the day of Jacob's trouble. We call it, as Christians, the tribulation period. We believe that's going to happen before the Lord comes back and sets up his kingdom on the earth. And so what we're talking about now is we talk about these blood moons, as we read about them in Joel. And I ask you to open your Bibles from Joel back to New Testament, Matthew chapter 24. And the Lord is talking about what's going to happen again. Same setting as Joel to Israel, to the Jews. And he says in verse 29 of Matthew 24, that's the first book of the New Testament. Now go to chapter 24. You'll find it with me. And let me read to you. I'm kind of pushing for time here this morning. In Matthew chapter 24, I'll pick it up in verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Now, God tells us, the next verse, then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, in heaven. And it's interesting, the rest of the verse. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. You would say, well, you know, when Jesus comes back, everybody's going to be so happy. No, there's going to be some that mourn. Going to be some that dread it, some that fear it, some that run and hide from it. Depends on what your relationship is with the Lord, whether you belong to Him or not, whether Jesus is your Savior or not. It's going to make a lot of difference. You know, when I was a kid, and mother, all mothers do this, I guess, I'll tell your daddy on you. Did you ever hear that? Oh, that struck fear into me sometime. And you know what? If I'd been a good boy, I was glad to see daddy come home. If I'd been bad, I was not looking forward to him come home. And some folks don't want to see the Lord because they're not in his family. They're not saved. It's a scary thing for them to hear that Jesus is coming back. But for those that love him and are saved and trust him as Savior, then it's a great day. It's a victory day. And I sometimes see folks say, and especially young people, because we deal with a lot of young people in school and college, and I've seen these young girls, you know, they say, I don't want Jesus to come yet, I'm going to get married. And I say, you know, if he comes, he could save you from that. You know, I mean, who in the world would rather not go to a place where you don't have to pay rent, buy groceries, amen, have any arguments, amen? All right. Anyway, it's a glorious thing for those that love the Lord, that know him as Savior. Now, I want to move to this a little bit. What you saw on the board a while ago is called a tetrad, T-E-T-R-A-D. It's a series of four moon eclipses all at the same time, four of them in a row. Now, this one is highly rare and unusual because in the midst of it, the sun has a full eclipse also, and it goes dark. Now, they're rare. You that are computer-wise, you can look it up on the website, probably, of NASA over here at the Cape, and they'll tell you exactly when they're coming, the exact dates, and so forth, and they've been telling us that for years. I've taught some on this in the past, that these things were going to happen in the heavens, in with the sun and the moon and so forth. Eclipses. Now, they're rare. What I want you to see, though, is that these are especially rare because they come at the same time of special days that God gave to the nation of Israel. Those special days we sometimes call feast days. There's seven of them. If you were to look it up, write the reference down, you can count those days in the book of Leviticus, chapter 23, where God gave those days. You'll recognize the first one of those days as Passover. When the Passover lamb was slain in Egypt and the Jews came out unto Moses, remember? And how the Red Sea was parted and so forth. But the Jews have kept Passover ever since then. And the last of those 7 days is called Tabernacles. And it's the time that is commemorated with the Jews when they were traveling in the wilderness for 40 years. And they had to be in movable houses, tents. And so they still celebrate Tabernacles. You go over to Israel on the time of the Tabernacle, the feast day, and you'll look on those flat roofs of the houses. You'll see a lot of the Jews go out and pitch little tents. Sometimes they make them out of palm brushes, branches and so forth. Did you ever, as a kid, camp in the backyard? When I was a little kid, mother let us take the dining room chairs and put a sheet over them and pretend we were in a tent. Do you ever, you know, I don't have time to teach you science, but anyway, with all that, that's what the Jews do in commemorating the Tabernacles, the time that they came out of Egypt, and they traveled, and they had to stay in Tabernacles, something temporary. And so this Passover is the first one when the lamb was slain and the blood was put on the doorpost. The seventh of the feast was Tabernacles. Now, the interesting part about these tetrads, these four moon eclipses with the sun in the midst, the interesting thing is that they start on Passover, they happen on the first feast day, and they happen on the second day. And not, I'm sorry, I'm watching folks move around. The seventh one, tabernacle. So first feast day, seventh feast day is when these dates hit. Now that makes them very, very rare. And again, I talked to you about the signs being to Israel and not to the necessarily to the church. Now let me tell you, they have happened in the past, though they're rare. Every time they have happened in the past is we have something special happening with Israel. Now look at me and listen to me. How many of you recognize the date 1492? Didn't you have to memorize that in school? Didn't you? What happened on that? Didn't America supposed to get discovered by Columbus? Amen. Well, I'll tell you something sad about that. They were having the Spanish Inquisition. Folks, y'all can go ahead and be seated over there, and the rest of you, quit looking at the people coming in and look at me, would you please? People. Anyway, 1492 was when Columbus, you know, you learned the little ditty in school, Columbus 1492, sail the ocean blue. You remember that? All right. Now here's the thing. The Spanish Inquisition was going on. And the Spanish Inquisition was part of it. Was they was killing people, burning people, but they expelled all the Jews from Spain. Columbus himself was a Jew, but he had converted or pretended to, whichever one is true, to Catholicism. King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella of Spain had agreed to expel the Jews. Now, the Jews are the most persecuted people in the world. That's history. All the way you know about Hitler, you know about 6 million being burned in the oven. Well, it's going on a long time before that. In fact, in 1492 in Spain, the Jews had to wear like a band on their sleeve identifying them, a yellow band, as Jews. That's what Hitler did later. He didn't get the idea. He just kept on doing that idea. They also took the Jews' wealth, their silver and their gold, and expelled them from Spain. I hate to say it, but some of the money that Columbus probably got for his voyage was stolen from the Jews in 1492. Now, here's what I'm trying to get to. That was a particular date when something bad happened to the Jewish race of people. A lot of them were killed. 200,000 at least were killed. And it was the same time that we had this phenomena in the heaven. We had the tetrads. We had the four moons turn to blood when they're in their eclipse, and we had a solar eclipse. Now, what I'm saying on that is that it happened in 1492. Something big was happening with the Jews. It happened again in 1948 and 49. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you were alive then, but I was. And I remember the news of the day on a little theater building that's torn down now because nobody in town had a TV. And at that time, Israel came back as a nation. Interesting, the four blood moons showed up at exactly that same time, 1948-49. Then it happened again, and many of you remember this one, in 1967. Remember the Six-Day War in Israel? Well, I remember it very well. I'd started preaching a little bit by that time, and I preached a lot about that. Something big. And at that same time, the phenomenon in the heavens showed up again. Every time there was a big date, big change, big something happening with the nation of Israel, the heavenly bodies gave the witness. The blood moons, four moons eclipse, and solar eclipse, and this happened. Now, the next one to happen is this year and next year. It will finish off the four again. Now, does that mean something special? It hits on the Jewish feast days. It hits on Passover, and it hits on the seventh one, Tabernacles. That makes it somewhat, well, quite rare, far as comparing it back to history. And I just talked to you a little bit about the rareness of it. Let me just say this. It also makes it rare because it's hitting in a sabbatical year. That's what you saw in the picture a while ago. You run 7 years, you have a sabbatical year. You that read the Old Testament, you know that was the hallelujah year. That was the day that people got their property back and so forth. It was a particular time on the seventh year. That's when they were supposed to let the land rest on the Sabbath year, the seventh year. And you remember the Jews were like you and I, they didn't let it rest. They planted anyway, and God had to deal with them about that. But the sabbatical year also works into this. So unlike the other series of four blood moons, this one contains a sabbatical year beginning, I'm reading my note now, September 25th, 2014, and concludes on September 13th, 2015. So this tirade of series of blood moons is going to conclude in 2015. And here's the interesting thing about it. It concludes in 2015 on one of the other feast days. It's the fifth feast day. We call it the Feast of the Trumpets. Now, you can read it, Leviticus 23. You get all seven feast days. Most of you know that Rosh Hashanah, a Jewish word that speaks of the time of the blowing of the trumpets, the Feast of the Trumpets. Many Christian Bible prophecy students believe that God could let the rapture of the church take place on the Feast of the Trumpets. I think that's a great possibility, even though I'm not sure that it's a date and that it has to be, and we're in no way trying to set a date. But the lunar eclipse itself is common. The occurrence of a total lunar eclipse is less common. The occurrence of a tetrad or four consecutive blood moons is rare. The occurrence of a tetrad with total solar eclipse within its series is very rare. And a tetrad with a total solar eclipse, that is significant to Israel's history or fits the feast days, is, count the varies, very, very, very rare. So what we're talking about in 2014 and 15 is a very rare occurrence. The occurrence of the tetrad with a total solar eclipse is significant to Israel because it includes the sabbatical year. That makes it even rarer again. And with a total solar eclipse happening where it will end on the Feast of Trumpets within its series is astronomically rare. So that's why a lot of Bible students are excited about what is going to be happening in the heavens. Now say, what does that mean to us? To you and I that are saved, it could mean the most glorious thing in the world if the Lord Jesus is getting ready to bring the day of the Lord and deal with the tribulation period with Israel, then how much more you and I that are saved, and I'll just loosely use the word church, that are in the church should be excited that the trumpet might be going to sound. And in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, God's people could be called out. So that's why we're excited. You say, suppose it don't happen. That's fine. I'll just wait till it does. But if you're not saved and it happens, you're in trouble. Because you're not going to get a second chance. You're not going to get another opportunity. If you reject Christ in this what we call grace age. See, a man can be saved today by grace. Say, what does that mean? It means unmerited favor. It means he don't earn his way. It means he don't pay the price of his salvation, because Jesus already paid that on the cross when he died for our sins. He cried out on the cross, it is finished. He finished the whole thing. You know, when I was dating my wife, I went and bought a engagement ring, and I asked her to marry me, and I gave her the ring, and then we got married, and I gave her the payment book. And some of you understand what I'm saying. Some of you think your salvation's that way. You think that Jesus made the down payment, and you got to keep up the payments. I'm thankful that's not true. I'm glad he paid it all when he said it is finished. He paid it from the front to the end, all of it. He paid a debt I couldn't pay. He paid a debt he didn't owe, but I owed. and he paid that debt of my sins. So I don't suffer the consequences of my sins. They've been put under his shed blood. My name is written in the Lamb's book of life. I'm forgiven because of what he did, not because of what I did. All I did would condemn me, but what he did sets me free and gives me the victory and gives me salvation. That's what we mean when we say salvation by grace. He's the one that loved us and died for us while we were yet sinners. And so that's so very important. Now, it is possible that the church age is about to end. I think it's a good chance of it. I don't know when. But I don't see the world getting any better, do you? I don't think we know really how bad it is, especially in a little town like this and in churches like this one. We lead a fairly sheltered life. Some of these big cities, and especially across the ocean and other places, life is pretty horrible. And the world is not getting better. It is getting worse. But you and I have an escape plan. We have a victory plan when we've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And I consider it very interesting that we'd see this heavenly phenomena, especially with it hitting. It hits on September 25th, 2014, and then again finishes up on September 13th, 2015. And that is quite interesting to me. The sabbatical year starts the first day of the Jewish New Year, which is on the Feast of Trumpets. And then it runs that 7 years, and it includes this phenomena that we're talking about. Now, I remind you again, these signs are given as being a sign to Israel. Please keep that in mind. I am not setting a date in any kind of way on the rapture. I would say this, if these are the signs spoken about in the book of Joel, spoke about in Matthew 24 and in Luke 21, if these are the heavenly signs that take place just before the day of the Lord, just before the tribulation period and all the judgment and all that's going to fall during that time, if this is true, then you and I have a right as believers to be looking for the Lord to come before that for those that are saved. And that makes it very, very exciting. Ushers, help me out. You folks can come on and be seated. You don't have to stand back there. We got seats down here. In fact, you could come right here on the front. There's plenty of seats. Come on in. We're glad to have you today. Appreciate you coming in honor of our anniversary Sunday. And we're about to finish up the Sunday school class, and then the preaching service will get going. So you're late for Sunday school, but you're early for preaching. So you're in good shape. Amen? All right. All right. Now, Brother Mike, would you run that picture down again for me? Just run it down again. What we've just talked to you about in Sunday school is a phenomena that is coming in the heavenlies. And you can turn on NASA, get the website, you can look it out. People, part of our English language sometimes is blood moons. Blood moons is a moon that totally eclipses. And of course, we see partial eclipse, sometimes we see moon eclipse. But the rare thing is that if you took this and you took the dates of it and you superimposed it on the Jewish calendar, you would find out that they hit on the special religious days, the feast days of Israel. One day, very important, the Passover. Now, the Apostle Paul in the New Testament compared Jesus as our Passover. Just like the lamb was slain and the blood was put on the doorpost to protect the Israelites from the judgment angel that was coming by, God's judgment that night to take the firstborn. Just as that picture of the Passover lamb, this first set of tetrads or blood moons are going to occur on Passover. They finish up on the last of those seven feasts, which is Tabernacle. The fact is, what makes it rare and what makes it a phenomena is the fact that it does hit on those dates of the Jewish feast. And the fact is, it's never ever in the past hit to the degree on these